Hello and welcome to In Historia Medicinae. I am Dr. Ashwini Nathu. When we talk about achievements in any given field, we talk about the first person to achieve something, and then separately we talk about the first woman to achieve the same. Because most of the achievements, the firsts, have always been a male domain. For women to shatter the glass ceiling and make their achievements known has always been a very conscious and uphill task. And the field of medicine is no exception. Women doctors, even today, are fighting for equal pay, fair treatment and non-judgment in the workplace, same as women working in any other field. But today's story is about three women in 19th century colonial India. The rigid societal customs dictated that women had no presence in the public sphere. Women's education was next to non-existent. Even those who did get the benefit of a basic primary education were taught at home and only just enough for them to be able to run their households. Most of them were married by 9 or 10 years of age and bundled off to their husband's house as soon as they hit puberty. Rest of their lives were spent completely at the mercy of their husbands and his family. Any deviation from this resulted in excommunication from the society. It was in this social milieu that Anandibai Joshi boarded a ship for the US in 1883. She studied at the Women's Medical College of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. She graduated in 1886 at 21 years of age to become the first Indian woman doctor. Anandibai's journey was definitely full of hardships and many setbacks, but she persevered with grit and determination, and also with the very strong support of her husband, Gopara. He was the one who encouraged her to pursue her education abroad at a time when women going abroad was virtually unheard of and travelling alone was just unthinkable. Unfortunately, Anandibai contracted tuberculosis and passed away in 1887, barely a year after returning to India, without getting a chance to put her degree into practice. In 1888, Kadambini Ganguly became the first Indian woman to obtain a medical degree from the Kolkata Medical College and became the first Indian woman doctor to practice. There was so much resistance to the idea of admitting a woman into the medical college that one of her professors actually failed her so that she would not get the required credits for a Bachelor of Medicine degree. But she fought back with the help and support of her husband, Dwarkanath Ganguly. She went on to study in England, and on her return, she was an active and vocal advocate of women's education and empowerment, as well as women's participation in the Indian nationalist movement for independence from British rule. Both these ladies had the determination to face all odds and emerge victorious, but what they also had in common was that both had supportive and progressive husbands who encouraged them at every step. But the third lady that we are going to talk about did not have that support. In fact, her story is quite the opposite. Rakhmabai was born in Mumbai on November 22, 1864. When she was about 2 years old, her father died, leaving her mother a widow at 17 years of age. Her mother remarried when Rakhmabai was 8 years old. Her stepfather, Sakharam Arjun, was a botanist, physician and a social activist. He worked at the JJ Hospital in Mumbai and was famous for his work in medical botany. He was also one of the founders of the prestigious Bombay Natural History Society. He saw that Rakhmabai was a bright child and encouraged her to read and study. According to the erstwhile customs, Rakhmabai was married at 11 years to a man, Dadaji Bhikaji, who was 19 years old at that time. The customs dictated that as soon as the girl hit puberty, she would be sent to live with her husband's family and the marriage would be consummated. But since Rakhmabai's stepfather was a social reformer with a progressive mindset, he forbade the early consummation of their marriage. He also encouraged Dadaji to obtain a good education so that he could find a well-paying job before he started his married life. But Dadaji was having none of it. He rebelled against the idea of education and fell into bad company. He also racked up debts which he was planning to pay off using the dowry brought in by Rakhmabai. At the same time, Rakhmabai was constantly studying and widening the horizons of her mind. Due to her stepfather, she came in contact with many thinkers and social reformers of the time and observed their ideas and teachings, giving further impetus for learning. Dadaji waited for a few years, and finally in 1885, when Rakhmabai turned 20, he decided enough was enough. He filed a case in court seeking restitution of conjugal rights. The case came up for a hearing in March 1886. Robert Pinney was the presiding judge. He gave a verdict in favor of Rakhmabai. He observed that this law of restitution of conjugal rights was a British law which applied to a couple who had been previously living together and were later separated. In such a case, either spouse could file for restitution of conjugal rights. Since Rakhmabai had never stayed with her husband, there was no precedent for use of this particular law. The judge also stated that Rakhmabai had only been 11 years old when she had been married to Dadaji and not in any position to give an informed consent. Now that she was old enough to know her mind, the court could not force her to live with a man she found unacceptable. The case and the verdict both caused a lot of furor. The social reformers were supporting Rakhmabai, while the conservative leaders blamed her Western education, as they believed that this caused her to take such steps which were against Indian culture. Many articles and editorials were written from both points of view. But Rakhmabai's legal troubles were far from over. Dadaji appealed to a higher court and the verdict given by Judge Pinney was overturned. Rakhmabai was told that she could either go live with her husband or go to jail for 6 months. She said she'd rather go to jail than live with this man. There were multiple further appeals after this. Social reformers like Bairamji Malbari and Pandita Ramabai formed a committee to support Rakhmabai and also raise money to cover her legal costs. A series of letters was published in the Times of India under the pen name A Hindu Lady. They outlined the gross injustice being inflicted on the Indian women by society. They called to attention the matter of age of consent as well as the importance of women's education. It was later revealed that the author of these letters was none other than Rakhmabai herself. Despite all the publicity and awareness, all the further appeals went against Rakhmabai. Finally, in 1888, she wrote to Queen Victoria herself as a last resort. She begged the Queen to look into the matter and grant her an annulment. Many anecdotes say that the Queen dissolved Rakhmabai's marriage by a special decree, but no such documents or records have been found. The most likely outcome was that Rakhmabai and her family reached a settlement with Dadaji Bhikaji and he agreed to relinquish his marital rights after receiving Rs. 2000. Finally, Rakhmabai was free from the shackles of this forced marriage and she was determined to further her education and study medicine. Dr. Edith Peachy, who was working at the Kama Women's Hospital in Mumbai, encouraged her to go to England to pursue medical education. She also helped her to raise funds. Many prominent reformists and women's rights advocates contributed money for her cause. She left for England in 1889 and enrolled in the London School of Medicine for Women. This was one of the handful of institutes in the world for women's medical education, including the Women's Medical College of Pennsylvania, where Anandibai had studied, and the New England Female Medical College in Boston. These colleges have now merged into the University College London, Drexel University Philadelphia, and Boston University, respectively. Rakhmabai graduated with a MD degree in 1894. She returned to India in 1895 and started working at a women's hospital in Surat. becoming the second practicing Indian female doctor, after Kadambini Ganguly. She continued to work in Surat and Rajkot till 1929, after which she retired and settled in Mumbai. Even after retirement, she continued to write about women's rights and for abolishing discriminatory and unjust practices. As a pioneer in the field of medical education for women, she is definitely a stalwart. But her contribution is not just limited to medicine. Her legal battle for recognition of her consent in marriage opened up a dialogue in society, not just amongst the reformers and lawmakers, but amongst the general public as well, paving the way for the Age of Consent Act in 1891. This act revised the age of consent for women from 10 years to 12 years. Though it wasn't a very radical reform, it got the ball rolling for future amendments and reforms. Rakhmabai's arguments established the fact that women have to have a say in the matters of their education and marriage. Rakhmabai's house in the Gaudevi area of Mumbai was built to a school after her death in 1955. The school is still running in the same premises, though the original house is no longer standing. It is indeed a fitting tribute to Rakhmabai. We have progressed a lot in the last 100 years. The gross inequalities of the 19th century have given way to the more subtle inequalities of the 21st century. Complete gender equality is still a pipe dream, but I would like to believe that we are getting there slowly but surely. Girls today can stand shoulder to shoulder with their male colleagues at the dissection tables, lab benches, and operating tables. This is the legacy of these pioneering women. It would serve us well to remember that if we have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of these giants. Thank you for listening to In Historia Medicinae, A Brief History of Medicine, with me, Dr. Ashtami Nagpal. You can email us at our email ID, which is abriefhistoryofmedicine@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is @abriefhistoryofmedicine. Be sure to keep a lookout for interesting facts that we'll be posting on our Instagram account.